So what's this Sleeping Beauty one? I mean, what?
Well, Sleeping Beauty is like to me, the greatest first generation Disneyland movie ever. Yeah. It has this dragon fight, which I've never gotten over. And in fact, another project I did in college was a Viking boat ride that ended with a confrontation of a dragon that was a blend between Sleeping Beauty's Maleficent Dragon and Ray Harryhausen's Seventh Voyage of Sinbad Dragon, which I also loved about the same. And I put it in my portfolio for a boat ride thing. And when we built Disneyland Paris, and I was in a position where I could control certain things, I said, I'm going to get my dragon this time. And so inside our castle, we have that dragon. The ride, like I said, it used Ivan Durrell's styling, which is really unique. It was the only animated film that really reflects more an artist, I think, than the traditional Disney studio styling for a film. And Walt was looking for a way to make it look different. And I fell in love with that very almost gothic, rigid, architectural forests that Ivan Durrell is famous for creating. And so this ride had this almost graphic look to it. And, of course, the climax was this big battle with the fire-breathing dragon and everything. I think it would have been great. But, you know, somewhere along the line, Walt had passed, and Roy Disney, his brother, was now tasked with, are we going to do Walt Disney World and finish this up? And I think he was really wanting to have the least chances of, oops, we made the wrong decision. So yeah. Down the line, he said, you know, I think, guys, we should just do the rides that we know are good. And so
proven commodities.
Proven. Yeah. And so they went back. And the irony about that is all of them were changed anyway. They're completely different. Not any of the dark rides that opened, even though it was Toad and Peter Pan and Snow White, they're all completely different from their counterparts in Disneyland. So go figure.
And that's the kind of goes for the same, like the one of the more famous ones, which is the Western River. Which also turned into pirates. So
it was. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, Tony Baxter's Big Thunder, you know, thing ended that. It really wasn't. You know, they'd opened the park in Florida, and it was really critical that it be a success right out of the box. Well, you know, Disneyland had only, you know, Pirates opened in 67, Walt Disney World opened 4 years later in 71. So the Pirate Ride was 4 years old and regarded it was the greatest thing of its day. I mean, it was so beyond anything at Disneyland or anything at the New York World's Fair. It was just a totally immersive and in a land, New Orleans Square, that was spectacular with great food and merchandise. And Disney World didn't have it. So everyone would, you know, the reviews were coming in saying it's good, but it's not Disneyland. It doesn't have pirates. And so instead of building the Western River, which was followed a lot of the logic of the pirate ride, it was a boat ride, but instead of using Caribbean villages and pirates, it used Western villages in the Wild West and Native American Indians that, you know, kind of counterplayed each other. And the cowboys got into a drunken kind of saloon, you know, song that would have probably rivaled Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for Me. And Mark Davis did an incredible job. Mary Blair even worked on styling the backdrop. So it wasn't as realistic as Pirates. It was a little bit more stylized. But we got to that crisis moment where there's no pirate ride. Once the commitment was made that we're going to do a pirate ride, it firstly follows the same thing where you go down the waterfall and there's caverns and you come out into this environment and then there's this big wild hoopla thing going on in the town and so forth. So it was kind of doomed at that point. So what I looked at, I said, maybe we could break the two apart so we can build the roller coaster, you know, runaway train that was engaged in the front facade. So if you imagine, at California Adventure, we have the Cars Land ride. Mm-hmm. If you imagine that massive, beautiful facade, that was going to be called Thunder Mesa.
Right.
And on that facade was a roller coaster train, like Big Thunder, running around. And they had a donkey, actual live donkey
burrow ride,
and all these things on the facade. So it was going to be a spectacular thing. But when I realized they're not willing to do that, they're going to do pirates. So we're looking at, you know, a decade before anything big happens on this side of the park. I said, well, what if we can break off that roller coaster? And they go, okay, well, take a stab at it. And there was nothing to do then because we'd opened the park and everyone is sort of, what's next? And so I did that, and I put the Western River Ride on my model so you could see it's here with the buttes out in front, and then there's still that big panorama of the mesa in the background. Oh, great. This gives us a... So I kept moving forward with the ride, the Big Thunder ride, and as soon as Pirates opened and it was successful and all of that, that was kind of the tail end. And there were other things happening, like the Native American issue was becoming, you know, a little bit more rising up, where you didn't want to, you know, present them.
You had to be more sensitive.
More sensitive, yeah. And so it was sad because it had a lot of things that complemented Pirates as well as sort of duplicating Pirates. So it would have... I think their thought of having an East Coast, West Coast, the mistake was it didn't open on opening day.
Yeah.
If it had opened on opening day, this wouldn't have happened, you know?
Yeah.